Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you, as usual. And we start with the good. It was a Meet the Press panel. And the good news comes from the combination of David Brooks of the New York Times and Chuck Todd of NBC News, folks that we don't necessarily feature a lot in the good martini. But the issue was, you know, what's the long-term effect of all the problems that have been happening with Obamacare? And this is really before we get to the, you know, nationwide sticker shock. We've already seen some of it. But David Brooks and Chuck Todd started talking about the idea that government is actually a solution.
I have to say, people are appraising whether government can work. Can government be nimble? Can it learn from its mistakes? And I would say the website is just a small symptom that it's not nimble. Government is like an offensive lineman. It can do something really well. It can do blocking. It can create order. But when you ask government to be a wide receiver, then you're asking it to do things it can't do. And I think we're in a situation like that. We're asking it to do things it can't do. Republicans win elections when Democrats overreach by asking government to do things it can't do.
David, the most interesting thing in this report, right, page 3 of the report, it says here that the team is operating with private sector velocity and effectiveness.
Yeah.
Okay, that is an acknowledgement that, you know what, if this was a government operation for a long time and it failed, now we're bringing in the private sector folks. I mean, that is an indictment on the whole idea of government as a solution.
Jim, that's kind of what we've been saying all along, but it's great to see other people seeing that's true.
Mankind will learn at the altar of experience and at no other. In that metaphor by David Brooks there, does that make Obama kind of a Keyshawn Johnson type? The wide receiver saying, just give me the damn ball! You know? You think of Terrell Owens. You can think of other examples, maybe Ocho Cinco for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, somebody who talks a good game, always says how great they're going to play, and then you put him up against a decent cornerback, and all of a sudden the performance isn't what was promised. It is good to see that this is seeping through, even to folks who we think are not always as receptive to our ideas as they ought to be, like David Brooks and Chuck Todd, that, look, you can't say based upon this that you need a larger government role in any sector of the economy. I mean, they have said, trust us, trust us, trust us. This is going to work. It's going to be fine. And as we'll get to in the following martinis, they can't make deadlines. They can't promise the delivered product. They have to basically lie in order to get people to pass it. They have to make promises they know they can't keep. Here we are in a situation in which everybody is, you know, very upset with this. They're continuing to promise that things are terrific. And, you know, those who read the Morning Jolt and Campaign Spot know it's not really. When they say it's fixed, they don't really mean it's fixed.
Unbelievable. But I think most conservatives would rather have Ocho Cinco against a shutdown corner than Obama running health care. So,
hey, he's LeBron, baby, as he reminded us.
Yeah, that's right. On to martini number 2 now. And as the administration tries to claim that healthcare.gov is working, there's a much more disturbing story out there. I don't know if a lot of our listeners were aware of the first part of this story. There's a gentleman from South Carolina named Bill Elliott. He's not the NASCAR driver. He's just a guy who owns a small business in South Carolina who is dealing with cancer. He had been paying about $180 per month in his healthcare premiums and then was hit with the sticker shock of Obamacare on the exchange. And here's what he told Megyn Kelly a couple of weeks ago about what he was going to do.
Just for me, it'll be $1,500 a month with a $13,000, $500 deductible. I'm not going to pay that. If I make it that long, I'll pay the $95, whatever, fine. And I'm just going to let nature take its course because I'm not going to put a burden on my family.
Jim, I remember seeing that interview live. It was just absolutely heartbreaking. And there's more to the story now, unfortunately. Now Mr. Elliott appeared just last week on the Rocky D Show on Charleston radio station WQSC. Here's the latest development in this story. It's unbelievable.
I would wonder why the Obama administration wouldn't call you right away and make an example of how they can help somebody. They didn't. And as a matter of fact, tell everybody what's happening to you now.
They don't want to help anybody. In fact, Monday I got a certified letter. I went down and got it. It was from the IRS, and they are auditing my books from 2009.
Jim, it even goes further than that. After his Fox News appearance, an insurance broker contacted Mr. Elliott, feeling great compassion for him, tried to help him work out his situation, and now the IRS is going after this insurance broker, too, checking on his records all the way back to 2003.
Unbelievable. I mean, on the one hand, I say unbelievable, but on the other hand, knowing what we know about the IRS under Lois Lerner, it's not that unbelievable. And this is kind of the consequence of we had kind of figured that Obama was going to use the tool of the federal government as a way to reward his friends, you know, things like Solyndra, you know, big government contracts and loan guarantees going to friends and donors and things like that. And, of course, punish your enemies, as Obama put it in one of his rallies to a Hispanic American group. In this case, we're seeing the consequence of the Republicans not having control over government. Because, yes, Lois Lerner has technically resigned, still getting full pension. Nobody's really, you know, there's no sense that heads have rolled, no sense that Geithner was held accountable, even though this was happening on his watch or anything like that. And you see this mentality of, you know, one, the use of government as a partisan tool to punish those who criticize the president. And then secondly, this sense that when wrongdoing goes on, you know, first, of course, Obama is never the first to know. He's always learning about these things from media reports. And then there's no consequence. You know, people are wondering, why hasn't Obama fired Sebelius or anybody for health care? Well, you know, nobody got fired for the IRS scandal. No one got fired for the NSA's activities. No one got fired for Benghazi. People got, you know, put on temporary paid leave, i.e. a paid vacation, and then they got brought back. This is not an administration full of accountability and people being held accountable for their decisions and punished for their mistakes and told to, you know, if you screw things up, you can't stay in your job. Ron Fournier, who's now with National Journal and was covered the Obama administration in the first term for the AP for a long stretch, says President Obama needs to fire himself. Not literally, of course, but practically, he needs to shake up his team. And like this is never what Obama's been all about. Remember, it's no drama, Obama. There is nothing wrong. Now, this story of a cancer patient who complained about Obamacare getting audited should be setting off, you know, the Drudge siren and warning klaxons all across the country. But it won't, and it certainly isn't going to bother the president, because if it's ever brought up to the president's attention in the form of a question from a White House press conference or when he interviews within these local, when he does his interview with Ron Burgundy as part of his local media approach the White House prefers, he will then say he has no idea what's going on. It's the first he's hearing of it, and he's as upset as anybody. Obama's always as angry as everybody. I think the act is getting very tired. What we see here in the case of this cancer patient is a runaway government that sees itself at war with the American people who complain about it too loudly. So I guess we should watch our backs, Greg.
Wow. Yeah, just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I mean, I think the radio host there had it exactly right. You would think that the administration would use this as an example to tout, even if it wasn't true, what did they believe the law did for the person rather than making them a victim in a whole other way.
The timing is just really tough to believe as a coincidence, right? I mean, we've just seen this happen too many times for too many folks that you criticize the administration, because you figure at some point people get criticized before they, you know, criticize the administration, you know, or that prominent Obama supporters would end up getting audited. But, you know, if this was all really random or this was all based on genuine suspicions, then you'd think it'd be, you know, breaking out that way instead of this very suspicious timing we see all too often.
Yeah. In a phrase that Obama will understand, it's par for the course now.
Very good, Greg.
You know, in the first martini, Jim, you talked about how both Brooks and Chuck Todd were admitting that government is not in a good position to deliver on promises. But if anybody knows how to deliver, it's Amazon.com. And they were featured on 60 Minutes last night. And just watching how the operation currently runs is mesmerizing. All the automation and everything that goes into really a very well-run operation. But Jeff Bezos let Charlie Rose in on the next wave of amazing developments that Amazon hopes to be at the head of the curve of. And it's specifically with really quick delivery after you order.
These are octocopters.
Yeah.
These are effectively drones, but there's no reason that they can't be used as delivery vehicles. Take a look up here so I can show you how it works.
All right.
So there's an item going into the vehicle. I know this looks like science fiction. It's not.
Wow.
Drops the package.
There's the package.
You come and get your package. And we can do half-hour delivery.
Half-hour delivery.
Half-hour delivery. And we can carry objects, we think, up to 5 pounds, which covers 86% of the items that we deliver.
Now, they say there's also a 10-mile radius from any sort of departure center, but a lot of those are in urban areas, so you can still hit a lot of people. The NSA squeamish side of me is a little bit worried about this, but wow.
What could go wrong, right, Greg? Lots of, you know, the swarms of drones flying through the skies, delivering our DVD box sets and our books and such. You know, Greg, you and I are around the same age. Do you remember when Domino's announced that they could deliver a pizza in 30 minutes or less?
Yes.
And everyone thought, oh, my goodness, that's unbelievably fast.
Right.
And there was fear, you know, pizza delivery guys were going to drive too fast in order to make. Like there was a time when 30 minutes was considered unbelievably fast for a pizza. There were some people on Twitter and who were, you know, watching this 60 Minutes report last night who were really excited. And I'm just going to see, like, you know, Amazon Prime is what, next day delivery, 2 day delivery?
Yes.
Are there really that many people who are going to say, oh my God, I got, you know, I want that new bestseller and it's going to take, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours. I mean, if you have an iPad or a Kindle or one of those reading devices, you can download it instantly. Netflix, you can stream the movies instantly. So we have on demand on your TV. We have unbelievable options to get stuff to us unbelievably fast. I'm kind of marveling at the concept that there's a need for this. I'm kind of struck by the impatience of our culture and the idea that we are going to embrace something that involves small robots flying around. I'm hoping they're really safe. I'm just like, do they just fly to your doorstep and then drop it down? Like America, how about apartment buildings? You know, like there are a lot of little details about how this would work that seem kind of strange and unclear. A lot of ways to imagine it could go wrong. Imagine you're a bad person, you build a drone, you slap the Amazon logo on it, and then you use it. If you're the Unabomber, it's unbelievably convenient, right? You know, now you have a great way to send your stuff. So maybe this never ends up coming to pass because of zoning restrictions and FAA regulations and things like that. On the other hand, we are definitely in a brave new world, Greg, of small robots giving us either, you know, books, DVDs, or Hellfire missiles to our front door.
Jim, welcome back, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Fantastic to be back, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and please join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch. Have a great day, everyone.